Bibles today, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to continue preaching on these pieces of cake. I've had preachers laugh at me. They tell me what you're preaching on. I said, what you preaching on? I said, a piece of cake. And they'll look at it, they'll laugh at me, look at the preacher and say, he's preaching on a piece of cake. I said, it's in the Bible. I start giving verses for it. And then they get real solemn, like, oh, that is in the Bible, ain't it like that? So, you know, it's amazing what's in this book. Amen. And it ain't because I'm smart. I'm glad the Lord wakes you up and says, hey, you ever thought about this before? And I believe that God's given this series of messages to help our church. I believe this is timely messages. I believe it's for our church right now. I believe it's helping, will help some folks go through some things or are going through some things if you'll take it. If you won't take it, it'll just be a series of sermons and we'll go on and you'll miss it. But if you'll take it, I believe you can take it in your heart and use this. God will use it to help you and help our church even get a little closer to God. Who knows? Might get us going towards revival. Who knows? But we got to get help. Amen. And you say, well, I don't need no help. Well, you're on that by your own. I'm going to tell you right now, this preacher needs help. Amen. And I need encouragement and instruction in the way. Amen. And so I just want to let you know that today. We preached already on out of 1 Samuel chapter 30 on dealing with sorrow and how that David dealt with sorrow when Ziklag was born, was burned to the ground, as wives and children were all stole away. I encourage you today, if you're going through sorrow, you need to listen, not because I'm a good preacher, you need to get a hold of that sermon and listen to that thing, because it's got some instruction on how to deal with sorrow. Not my instruction, but how the Bible has to deal with sorrow, that we might have an understanding of how to work within the boundaries of the Scriptures and understand how to deal with things. And so I encourage you to do that. And then, of course, last Sunday we dealt with dealing with satisfaction, having the presence of God in our lives. Amen. Boy, you are never going to be satisfied till you have the presence and the power and the perfect will of God in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Today I want to preach on dealing with supply. Dealing with supply. I think a lot of times we don't understand how to deal with supply for our life. The things that we need. Amen? And the Bible tells us that He knows what we need.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He knows what we need. But a lot of times in the panic to supply our own self, we mess up. Say amen right there. There's a lot of folks messing up trying to fill in their own cupboards. Amen. Trying to supply their own way of doing things. And you will mess up doing that. Amen right there. And when you don't trust God the right way. Look at with me, if you will, stand today. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. Gonna have these old King James Bible. Amen. If you don't have one, reach down and get a pew Bible. If you don't see one in your pew, holler around somebody with you. Please read along with us today. I'll be within two chapters the whole day. You'll be able to stay right here through us. Get you a Bible and read along with us. The Bible said that Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. The Bible said there was famine coming. He used the man of God and said, there's famine coming.
Amen.
And God told him to get away, get out. Later on, he says, go back, amen. But right now, he says, get out. Here's where I want you to do. Here's I'm going to handle supplying your need. I'm going to handle taking care of you.
Amen.
I want to say this. I know this seems over simple, but there's a lot of folks that are messing up in this part. Brother Ty, a lot of folks are messing up right here. They don't believe that God can supply their need. Oh, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, I believe. And then every time something comes on, they go out and do something else out of the will of God, because they try to fill their own cupboards in their way instead of God's way. And by the way, when you do that, you open the door not only for that sin, but you open the door for multiple sins. Unfaithfulness. Amen. Unfaithfulness. Unkindness. Bitterness. Criticalness. Covetousness. All those doors, once you open that one, all those sins just start flowing in. Okay, you understand what I'm saying this morning? It is important to have this one right. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask Brother Freeman to lead us in prayer. Brother Freeman, please pray for me this morning. Amen. Amen. You may see it this morning. Appreciate the prayer. One prayed it. Dealing with supply. Letting God supply our needs. The first thing we look at there, we have to look at the famine itself. Why would God allow famine to come to land? And by the way, God allow, some people say, well, God will never allow anything bad to come my way. Let me be very clear here. God will allow bad things to come your way. Amen. In fact, there ain't nothing coming to come your way unless God says it's okay to come your way. Amen. Y'all preacher don't know about that. Oh, you better read your Bible. Amen. There's many times he let the storm come up. Amen. There's many times he let the famine. There's many times he let the enemy come up and take the back. God will allow bad things in your life.
Amen.
God will allow the grasshoppers to come to your life and get your attention. If God means, if that means that God has to go out and eat everything you got to get your attention, then God will send them your way to eat everything you got until there's nothing left. So you'll start trusting God. So don't tell me that God will not do that today. You say, preacher, I'm going through some things. Listen, I don't believe everybody that's going through things are going through before sin. But let me be very frank here today. I believe that a lot of times people are going through things because of sin.
Amen.
We want to dismiss that a lot of times. We're almost afraid one time. We're afraid we'll go too far this way, Brother Tyre, too far that way. There is a balance. There are times when God allows things to come out of life exactly for the cause of sin to get our attention and wake us up to this. This is the fact today on this passage. In fact, if you look at one chapter back, I just want to read a few verses of the previous chapter. Look it with me in there in 1 Kings chapter number 16, verse number 31. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31. The Bible says, it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and worshiped him. Now that's Ahab. And Ahab, I just did think, I'll be honest with you, there's a monster comes to town. The Bible says he had the wrong relationship. He took a relationship with somebody he should have never been acquainted with, shouldn't have had any relationship, and went and married her just to kind of smooth things over, to bring the kingdom together. And he did that, and he married the wrong person. And it was a wrong relationship. And did you see what happened as soon as he married her? Did she start worshiping God? No. He starts worshiping Baal.
Amen.
Wrong relationship. Number two, wrong religion. Look at verse number 32. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. I mean, my goodness, look what he does. He puts an altar in a house that he built. He worships him. He builds him up. And so he goes into a wrong relationship. And then now he's in a wrong religion. But look at verse 33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. That's a lot. The Bible says that it made God mad. And so we see three things. We see a wrong relationship, we see a wrong religion, and now a wrong wrath. I remember years ago we put up a tent down in Indian Trail and had revival down in Indian Trail, that big tent out there. I remember knocking on doors and people trying to get them to come. And I never will forget the lady telling me, knocked on the door. I can just about see her face. And she said, well, you don't understand. I've got my own religion. And a lot of folks got their own religion. Amen. The problem is they don't have a relationship with the Lord. Religion will send you to hell. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of people in hell today that went to hell with the Bible sitting on the front row of many churches, no doubt today. Now, I'll say this, relationship is what a person needs. And the Bible said that Ahab, he had the wrong relationship and the wrong religion, and he brought upon himself the wrong wrath. Amen. Why? Because a monster comes to town. He lets somebody in that should have never been there. Why does the famine start? A monster comes to town. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 17. This is the first mention of Elijah in the entire Bible. This is it. This is his introduction. And we don't know anything about him till right now. There's no talking about his birth. There's no talking about his raising. There's no talking about where he came from. There's no talking about where he went to church. We don't know nothing about Elijah till right at this moment, but there's a very specific reason for it. Let's look at it today. First of all, the name Elisha, we're going to look at the monster comes down, but a mantle on a Tishbite. Now, the name Tishbite means recourse or action taken. In other words, God gets to the point where it says, now it's time for the Tishbite. Amen. That's what it is. A recourse is taking. There's a reason right now to get Elijah on the scene. Why? Because there's a monster in town. Amen. And every time there's a monster in town, God's got a mantle on a Tishbite. God's going to find somebody to have recourse to back up and push back what's been going wrong. Amen? And so there's a mantle on a Tishbite. Notice what it says in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. Three things about him, this mantle on a Tishbite. Number one, his namesake. His name means God Jehovah, or powerful God. His nativity was Gilead, and it means a heap of a testimony. Amen. So think about this. This is a man that is called to action at a specific time, and his name means Almighty Powerful God Jehovah, powerful God. That's who I'm serving. And I've come from a land with a heap of testimony. Amen. In other words, I come from a land with a backbone, with a background of a testimony. Amen. I didn't fall off the wagon. I didn't just figure this thing out yesterday. I come up from somebody that has taught me that this is the way to go. Amen. And so he comes with a heap of testimony in his background and the namesake that he's God, that God Almighty is powerful. And here he is all of a sudden that he shows up. Why? Why is he never mentioned before? Because he was not mean. He was not needed before. But now he is absolutely a necessity in Israel. Amen. We need somebody with a heap of testimony in his background and a namesake that God is all powerful and a Tishbite that is a recourse from God that says, now I need that person. Right. Why does he show up? There's a monster in town. So we need a man on a Tishbite. Number 3, look at verse number 1 with me. The Bible says, and Elisha Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He said, I've got a message of God. I've got a message from God. Amen. I've got a message from God. I want you to know that I'm not making this up, that I didn't get out of seminary or cemetery, and I'm just trying to give you 3 points and outline a couple of poems. That's not what I'm trying to give you. But I've got a message from God for you. Now, what is this message? Notice what he says. There shall not dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. There's not going to be any. Why does that need to be done? Why? Why is that so? Why a famine, Brother Ty? Why a famine? I mean, why not war? Why not hail, you know, falling? Why a famine? What's real important? God is going to prove who's the real God and who's the fake God. See, when Jezebel came to town, she's a Phoenician. And the Phoenicians served Baal. And Baal is the Phoenician fertility God who supposedly sent rain. Who supposedly sent rain and blessed the crops. So here she's come to town. And she's going to set up, Ahab's got in there with her, and they built a temple, and they put up an altar, and they're having groves, and they're just having a big old time, amen. And boy, I tell you one thing, we're going to have a garden this year, man, I'm telling you, the corn's going to grow, the wheat's going to grow, man, we're going to have something now, cause Baal's come to town. But God says, hey, I got something to say about that. We're going to find out. He said, we're not going to hail down hail because you might not figure out what's going on. Hey, we're not going to send an army because you might not figure out what's going on. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around and take the very thing that that God says, that those people say that God can do, and I'm going to prove he can't do nothing. Isn't it, boy, ain't our Bible right? Amen. God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you who's the real God and who's the fake God. We're going to get this thing settled today. Amen. And so a famine starts in the land. I tell you right now, I think a lot of problems we're having today is because people are trusting in everything else. Say amen right there. While we're going to have troubles in America, God's going to probably have to take some money away from America. Amen. God's going to have to probably glean some, take some money away from America and take some bank accounts away from America and take some credit cards away from America and take some things away from America that we have relied on and rested on and comforted ourselves on and thought they would get us through. And God's going to make it where we can't get no credit and we can't get no cards and we ain't got no cash and the bank gets low. And then God's going to say, let me show you who the real God is and who the fake God is. Are y'all with me today? Is that right? Yes, sir. God will deal directly with sin. God doesn't deal around sin.
That's right. Amen.
He deals directly with sin.
Yes, sir.
He will look you in the eye and deal where that famine, that old monster's come to town. He's going to deal with that monster head on. Amen. Amen. Would you agree with me? So there's a famine that starts. Now, notice verse number 2. I know there's a lot just to get to verse number 2, but look at verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now he says, I've got a place for you to be. It's not right here.
Amen.
I want you to be over there. That's where I want you to be. And so God begins to work in Elijah's life. And he says, now listen, you just said there's going to be a famine in the land, but I need you to go there. Now there's a couple reasons for this. Not only is he going to do something there special, but you'll find out in chapter 18 that in the meantime, Oh, Jezebel has stirred up and is trying to kill all the men of God.
Amen.
And she's trying to put away the prophets of God all in the land. She's raising her prophets up and trying to kill the prophets. Amen.
Yes,
so that's what's happening in chapter 18. So God says, listen, there's a famine coming to land. She ain't going to like it. Amen. And this Phoenician woman's not going to like it. And I need to take you somewhere and put you safe. Amen. I'm going to put you safe where you can be taken care of. I've got a plan for supplying your need. Now notice what it says. We see he has a place. But let's look at the paradox. You know what a paradox is? That's when things just don't look like it ought to be that way. It just looks like that's just as opposite as the way you would have went. I'd have never chose that way. And many times that's how God is. He supplies our need in places that we would have never chosen.
Amen.
And I got looking this thing up and I said, well, where is he taking him? What the Bible said, to the brook Cherith. Now, the word brook Cherith is not the brook that we talked about the other Sunday, that brook of cheerfulness. Oh, no, Cherith don't mean that at all. You know what brook Cherith means? You know what Cherith means? It means to cut and destroy and consume. I want you to go down to the cutting, consuming place. The place of where it looks like you'd be destroyed. That's where I want you to go. And so it's not where we would have chosen. We'd have never gone there. Oh, no, let's go to the other place. Let's go to Bazer. That's cheerful. Amen. God says, nope, that ain't where I want you. I want you in a place where everybody else says, if you go there, you'll be consumed.
Amen.
If you're faithful to the house of God and things God give you tithes and all, give a mission like that, well, my goodness, in tight times, you'll be consumed. You can't tithe when things are tight. You can't give the missions when the bank account's tight. You give the missions when you got bonuses. You hear what I'm saying? God says, hey, I want to take you to a place where everybody else says that is a place of destruction. That's a place of cutting. That's a place of consumption. You'll never be able to make it there. Why, your calculator will not work there. Look what he says. I want you to brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Do you know what Jordan means? The very name Jordan means descender. Means to go down. Means to go lower. Now notice where he did. He says, here's where I want you to go. I want you to go to a place that seems like you'd be consumed and destroyed, and it's just before going down. That's not where I chose. I'd want to pick that mountaintop experience. How about you? I want to pay that mountaintop experience. And I want to be there over at Bazer where everything is happy. Amen. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I don't want to have problems. I don't want to go places where I'm going to face problems. I don't want to go places where everybody goes, I don't think you'll make it doing that. I want to go to those places where it's smooth. It's easy. And it's, you know, it's microwave. That's what a lot of people want, microwave religion. Pop it in on Sunday, push three buttons, pop out, and everything's okay. Oh, I got news for you. This Christian walked more than on Sunday. And it's more than on the mountaintop. And it's more than on the easy days. A Christian walk is walking with the Lord on the mountaintop and in the valley.
Amen.
So I got a place for you, but it's a paradox. I would have never thought you'd say, that's exactly where sin's at. Now notice the plan. Not where we have chosen and not how we had chosen it. The Bible says in verse number 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Well, that sounds pretty good. I can deal with that. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he got together and talked to a few fellows and see if it's, no, the Bible says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. The Bible says the ravens brought him. Now, it's amazing things because a raven in the Bible is an unclean bird. They're not to eat a raven. We know the ark, when they opened the ark in the window, what to do? The raven went out, landed on the carrion, landed on the dead animals. Didn't come back, because why? Dead animals float. They can land on that. The old dove wouldn't do that. She had to have a branch to land on.
Amen.
Amen. When she could land on a branch, she didn't come back. The old raven didn't need a branch to land on. Man, he land on dead. Hey, listen, they'll eat anything. They'll eat fruit or they'll eat meat. They don't care. They're this unusual bird. It'll eat both things. And they're dirty, and they're selfish, and they're black. I'd have never chose them. They're black. I'd have never chose them. They're not like us. That old blackbird. That old blackbird, he don't even sing a good song. You ever heard of, I mean, you hear a little tweet. Oh, that sounds so peaceful in the morning. Hawk! Hawk! Oh, my goodness, what is that? What a melody! What? It's not the one I would have chosen. How about you? I looked up what the Bible says he had the ravens. Is that right? Is that right? Ravens to feed him. I looked up, you know what a raven, you know what a, there's really not a word. They're not called a flock of ravens. Did you know that? You don't call ravens a flock. You know what you call them? You call them a murder. They call them a murder of ravens. Or if you get a group enough about them, they call them unkindness. A unkindness of ravens. Isn't that amazing? They're not called a flock. That amazed me. I mean, you get them together, they're called murder and unkindness. God says, I'm going to take a bunch of murder unkind folks. I'm going to put them together. I'm going to change their nature. I'm going to have them come feed you. God's took murders before. They had the church. You say, I don't believe that. You might want to read about Paul. Might want to read about David. God can take a flock of murderers. God can take a group of murderers. God can take some that is unkind and change their whole nature. And all of a sudden, they're right in there with them. You know what an amazing thing it is? If you're reading the Song of Solomon, the description of the groom, Christ. Do you know the Bible says his flock, his hair? His hair is like a raven's. He became sin for us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's not where I chosen. That's not the folks I would have thought would have got me through. But I will say this, there's many times God has changed the nature of folks and helped us with them. And he can help you with them. If you just let God change them and you don't worry about it, let God change them. If God says he can, he can. Amen. I don't like the way they sing. Ah! Let me ask you this. Do you mind eating? Do you mind meat and bread in the morning? Meat and bread, do you mind that? The Bible says a raven had the raven to serve him.
Amen.
Verse 7, we see a passing of time. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain to land. I mean, Eventually, even where he was, the famine hit and the water dries up and there is no water no more. We see the patience of him. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came into him. I mean, the brook dried up. He said, well, gotta go. The Bible says God had to tell Elijah what to do next.
Amen.
I mean, you don't think, Brother Ty, you reckon he watched, you reckon he noticed that the brook was getting a little drier? Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. One time it was a flowing, and now time it's getting down to a trickle. Unless yesterday he kind of had to get a little hole in there and let it fall in his hands. I mean, he noticed. But he didn't move till God told him to move. He waited till God spoke to him to tell him what to do next. That's a good pattern right there. Do the last thing God told you to do till he tells you to do something else.
Amen.
Some people say, I don't know what to do. Don't you do the last thing God told you?
Amen.
If we do the last thing God told us, we'd be lined up with God. That'd be a good place to be. The last thing God told you, what's the last thing God told you? You knew for a fact he told you. If you do that, you'd be all right. Amen. He's not going to leave you starving. Now, notice he gets to the ravens. Now we're going to deal with the region that he sends him to. Look at verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, hey, man, don't you glad God keeps speaking? Look at verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, here's what he says. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. What? Go where? Oh, y'all know all about Zarephath, don't you? You know where that is? Zarephath is near Jezebel's home where she grew up. You know where I want you to go? I want you to go towards the enemy for a little while. Go to Zarephath? But that's where the enemy is. I don't want to go to Zarephath. And it's worse than that. The Bible says he sent him to unfriendly territory. And then he sent him to unrestful territory. Listen, in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 9, and Acts chapter 12, verse 20, you don't have to read that there, but if you study that out, you'll find that the Phoenicians depended upon Israel to get their food. A lot of times they would trade them out, cedar for food. Now think about it. Where's their famine at? In Israel. Is there food in Israel? No. And then you got folks that depends on you being the grocery store and you ain't got nothing on your groceries. You ain't got nothing out there on your shelves. It's worse in Phoenicia than it is in Israel. We got cedar. Cedar don't satisfy when you're starving to death. So here's the Phoenicians over here. They're depending on Israel to get food. Israel's got no food. And that's where he sends them. Most of us would be about ready to jump a boat and go somewhere else, wouldn't we? Amen. Say amen right there.
Amen.
We sure ain't going to go from bad to worse, would we? No, we weren't going to do that. Brother Ty, he sent him to a worse situation as far as the supply. As far as the physical means of supply, it was not there. Got your Bible open? Look at it. Verse 9. Behold, I have commanded a king to sustain you. I've commanded a man with a ponderosa to sustain you. I have found some young fellas that are willing to work and they'll sustain you. No! He said, I have a widow woman to sustain you. I mean, this thing just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. The first thing you do, you go toward the Phoenicians, your enemy. The second thing you do, you go to some people that don't have a pantry and is waiting on your pantry to feed their pantry. And you go to them. And then you send them to the poorest person in the land. A widow is the poorest person in the land. She has no rights to anything. And that's where you're sending me, God. That's how most of us would act. We'd have been walking around the house. If anybody was outside and we was inside the house and they was walking by, all they'd saw was.
Go ahead.
Well, I know none of y'all never done that before, but I'll ride by your house at night and see what happens. Things looking kind of different. Amen. We see the region of shortage that he was sent to. Then we see a woman with some sticks. Look at verse number 10. Y'all know these scripture, but look at it with me. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. Notice the word behold. He got looking for her. Amen. God told him, so that's what's going to happen. So what did he do? He went looking for her. The amazing thing about this, I don't know how he knew she's a widow woman. I don't know. Maybe because she's gathering sticks and the men would have been, I don't know, but she's out gathering sticks. Maybe that's what identified her. And said, behold, the widow was there gathering of sticks. So he got to look, and then number two, look at verse number 10. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Give me a little water in a vessel. Now, I love Elijah, but I think personally Elijah was like a lot of us at this point. He kind of testing the waters before he went full out. Could you give me a little water? Give me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Look at verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a, what does it say? A morsel. You know what a morsel means? It means tiny little crumb. Could you, while he's going there, could you get me a little bit of water? And just a little water and maybe a little crumb. Man, I'm almost ashamed to ask her. She's a widow lady. I mean, she's a widow lady. Come on, fellas. I'm a man. In fact, I'm a man of God. Now I've got to ask the poorest for something. So I'm going to test her. I'm going to kind of step into this faith thing slowly. Come on now. I'm going to kind of step into it slowly. I think we delay a lot of God's blessings because we step into faith slowly.
Right. Amen.
We want to test the water, see if it feels good before we get into it. Can you bring me a little water? And can I have just a morsel of bread in thy hand? So he asked for a little. She turns around and she tells him her limitations. Boy, I mean, it's bad. Listen to what she says. And she says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. Now look at me. She says, I don't have a cake at hand. I'm telling you, as the Lord thy God liveth, I'm telling you, you're from Israel. I know that. I can recognize it. And I'm telling you, I don't have a cake. She says, I got more than that. I don't even have a cause for hope of having a cake. She says, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, and that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She tells him, now imagine the man of God. Lord tells him, go there. A woman's going to do it. Not just a woman, a widow woman. You're in your enemy's camp. There is no supply. The woman that God has sent you looks you in the eye and says, I don't have a cake. I got a handful of flour, a little oil. We're going to cook it, and we're going to die. And a lot of us at that point say, God messed up. But see, you got to remember, he's been fed with ravens for the last few days.
Amen.
See, when you trust God, you see God do something, you begin to believe that God can do something.
Amen.
We don't walk by sight, but I'm going to tell you one thing. There's some past valleys I've gone through. I've seen God brought me out of those valleys. I believe God brought me out of other valleys. Amen.
Amen.
Now, things are looking bad. Amen. But notice what happens. Y'all know this passage. The Bible says that Elijah said to her, fear not to go and do as thou hast said. Go ahead, you go and do that. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. I have no idea how big this cake is, but it couldn't have been big because she says I got a handful. And she's going to still have to have some left over for her son and her to eat because he's told her to do it. Just make me one first. So I'm thinking, I mean, I'm not real good at ladies' measure, but I'm thinking maybe they're one of them little mini cupcakes like you get down at, well, I bet it ain't got no icing on it. They're one of them little mini cupcakes. You see them in them little stores, you know, just nothing to make you mad.
Yeah.
Go But I want to say this, when there's not enough to make a whole cake, sometimes just trusting God with a mini cake is a big deal. He said, I want you to go ahead and make me a little cake. When you finish, you go ahead and make what you was going to make for you. Okay? Just make me a little cake. Just trust God and trust this long enough to try God just to make a little step. Go in there and work and oil and bake. Bring me out. And listen, you won't have to impress me with the size of it. You won't have to impress me. I'll be satisfied if you just come out with a cake. Now, why is he satisfied with that? Because that will show, he will know that God has got him with the right person at the right time, and God is supplying his need through her. So if you just come out with a little cake, listen, I promise you I won't throw rocks. That'll be fine. If you come out with a little cake of faith, if you bring that little cake of faith out. Now, this is a Phoenician woman. If you'll bring that little cake of faith out, I'll be satisfied with it. She does not balk one bit. Verse 14, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 50, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And something I never saw before, she and he and her house. There were some other folks depending on her. She's just going to go in, him and her, eat and die. The rest of them had to fend for themselves. I never saw that before. She and he and her house did eat many days. Many days. A little faith, a big God, a small step. Look at verse 16. And the barrel meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. But you know what he had to have? Had to have a little cake. Somebody's got to trust God to say, God, what you said, you do. You do. Hey, in salvation, never been saved before. Never been saved before. I've never been saved before until 35 years ago. Never been saved before. Didn't know what it was to be saved. I've seen what people saved look like, amen. But I've never been saved before. So 35 years ago, I took a little cake of faith, presented to God. God said, I'll take that. Watch this. The meal won't run out and the cruise won't fail. Amen. Amen. There's been time in our life financially. Me and my wife have come down to where we're doing the, you know, we did the checkbook thing too. We added all up and it didn't add up. We've had, some people say, well, I'm just trying to get two ends to meet. Man, we couldn't get them to wave at each other. Wave at each other. And during that time when we were really tight like that, my wife come in, we got talking about it. We was going to have Natalie. She's 17 years old now. We was going to have Natalie. And she was working a job and I was working a job. And she came to me and we got talking about it, both of us. And she said, I really feel like that she's the most important thing outside of the Lord in our life. She's the most important thing. I think I need to raise her up in home. That was her conviction. She came to me and told me that. You know what I said? I don't know. No, you know what? I can remember as it was yesterday. I said, I believe if God is guiding, that God will provide. Amen. I ain't talking about being lazy and no count. There's some people just lazy and no count and use God for excuse not to work. Amen. But I'm talking about the folks that really are devoted to the Lord and devoted to their home and devoted to doing God's will and stepping out in faith and letting God lead. We stepped on faith and honestly, we took our, this is the honest truth, we used a calculator and figured it up and it did not add up that she could quit work and we could pay our bills. Natalie's 17 years old now, and we have never missed a bill. Why, Miss Tracy, we've even gone on vacation and paid the bills. God began to broaden our coast in the most unexpected way. But you know what we had to do? We had to take that little cake of faith and trust God with it.
Amen.
God, can you take our finances and do this? Oh, yeah, I can do that. I'll take that. Some of us got some other problems, some other issues. And God's telling us, if you'll turn what you have over to me, I'll take it. And I'll prove to you who I am. But here's the thing. God may have to take you through the famine to get you to understand you can trust him. Some people say, boy, I'm having hard times. I'm having famine in my life. I want to say this today. God may be trying to get you to your widow of Zarephath. Your widow there, not Zarephath. It's Zarephath, yeah. The widow of Zarephath. He may be trying to get you to that widow. He may be trying to get you down to the brook. So he showed that he can take the impossibility and do the possible. You understand what I'm saying today? Listen, you can trust God with provisions, with supply. But you got to give it to God. You can't hold a stash of cake back here. She didn't go out there and take that little cupcake. Just in case this don't work, let's cut this thing in half. We'll put this back in there. And we'll go out there with half a cake. Half cake is disobedience. Well, I can hear it right now as I'm preaching. I can hear it and close my eyes and hear it. But preacher, you don't understand my situation. Look me in the eyes. I am not your supplier. He is your supplier.
Amen.
And he knows what you need.
Amen. Amen.
It's not about what you think I think I know about what you got. It's about what he knows you got and whether or not you'll give him what you got so he can prove it. By the way, it's all his anyway. It was his when you got up this morning. It'd be his when you lay down in bed tonight. And I'm not arrogant enough to say, oh, but preachers, that's not easy. I know it's not easy. And I'm not trying to get a raise, and I don't want your money. I don't want your money. I'm telling you right now, until you trust God, you're going to stay in the famine. If you're lost here this morning, until you trust God, it is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until you finally drop off in hell. If you're saved this morning, you're backslid, I'm telling you right now, listen to me, it is going to get worse and worse and worse. And you say, well, I got a good job coming on. We got a lot of money coming on. And things, and you know, financially, things may turn around. And yet you might actually have money coming in, but the family's not happy and the divorce is still happening and the family's still running around and children are not right and they're on drugs and they're doing all these things. And you're thinking, what in the world is going on? God sent famine to you.
Amen.
And until you get it right, God is going to keep famine in the land.
Amen.
Now listen to what I'm saying this morning. You can do anything you want to do. You can do anything you want to do, but you will pay for having monsters in the camp. You can't show up on Sunday morning and do what you did last night and think everything's okay. You can't leave here Sunday and go out and do what you want to do on Monday and think everything's okay. It won't work. And God will just keep the famine going. And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. I'm telling you, I think our land is headed, I think America is headed for a train crash. Amen. And I'm telling you one thing. We better have the ability, we better have the faith to trust God with that cake.
Amen.
Let's all stand. I've preached three messages this week. Not one of them has been in the glory. Not one time have I got to preach out glory message. Ain't got to. Not one time. Like to have. Love to have. All I've done all week long is warn. Is that right, Brother Ty? Is that not, is that what I, I had to start you off on Wednesday morning. Warning, warning, warning. I'm telling you, under sound of my voice right now, there's folks that are in trouble with famine in their house, in their home. Now, I'm not talking about just visitors. There's members in our church right now that's allowing things in their homes going to make you shipwreck. Oh, I'm just going to do my own thing. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You go ahead and do it. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost your testimony. It's going to cost your walk. And God's going to send a famine, a coldness in your life. You cannot have a monster in town and think everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
I want pianos to play something softly this morning. If the woman had said no, this is my flower and my oil and my life, and I'm going to do my thing, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, she'd lasted a couple of days. If God would not been true, can you imagine? If God had lied to Elijah, lied in his word, lied in his character, if God was not able to do all those things. Now listen to me. If God was not able to do all those things that he did. Now we all know that's impossible. And she had baked the cake and given it to Elijah, she had lasted 3 or 4 more days. We all know that little bit of cake wasn't going to sustain her anyway. Here's the problem. When you ain't got nothing, what are you hanging on to? When what you got is not working, what are you hanging on to? It won't sustain anyway. Why don't you just go ahead and give it over to God and say, God, I'm done. I just believe that you got a better plan than I got. I believe that you do love me, that you do care me, that Christ really did die on the cross for my sins, that he really will forgive me, and he really will be. And there may be some hard times. Listen, when that famine come, it was famine. But God sustained Elijah. I didn't expect this to be a shouting message this morning. It's amazing how many times the Bible that God, Jesus, had to turn around and preach about money and finances and giving and hoarding and keeping and stubbornness and over and over and over. Because what it is, it becomes a God to us. We become prideful in what we've got. We don't want to let anybody know that we need help. But if she give it up, and God didn't work, she's going to last a couple days. See, God already made a promise that he would work. You know what she had to do? Now listen here, here's the big word. She had to trust him. Just had to trust him. And trusting's not trusting today and I tried it and it didn't work. I personally believe that when she went down that flour, I'm done, listen, church. When she went down that meal of flour, I believe she went down the bottom and scraped every bit of the last bit of flour out. How many believe that? And she went that day and she fixed the cake. And tomorrow she goes back and looks in that barrel and there's just a handful down there again. And she reaches down there and scoops a handful up again. Well, there's a little handful in that corner. I don't believe God filled the barrel up. He just supplied day by day, by day, by day, by day, by day, by day, by day. But I'll ask you this. Was there any less flour for the need? Mm-mm. It just every day, by faith, she had to go in and look down that barrel and find another scoop. That's how we live in a Christian life. We just go back to the barrel, look down in there and say, well, I declare, there's another scoop of joy. There's another scoop of help. There's another scoop of kindness. There's another scoop of mercy. There's another scoop of tenderness. There's another scoop of God sent somebody in my life. I think I'll take that scoop. And I'll go make a little cake. Because we had a big barrel. We'd just go in there and we'd quit having by faith. We'd start living by sight. God wants us to live by faith. Pianist plays, every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. If you need to come today, I want you to step out and come on right now. I want you to step out and come on right now. Aren't you glad that God has the right person at the right time with the right message? Aren't you glad that God brought Elijah on the scene when he did? But he brought it when it was the worst situation. To test a most unusual person. In that society, she was a nobody. But God sent Elijah to a nobody to supply her need. Hey, did you notice when God said, I'm gonna have her supply your need? Hey, Brother Bill, did you know when God had her supply her need, God was supplying her need while he was supplying his need? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? Why did God do that for? Because God wanted to prove who he was. Who he was. If you're here this morning, listen. You about the end of your rope, somebody says, tie a knot in, hang on. Here, let me be very clear. Do not hang on. Do not hang on. Go to him and let it just climb up in his arms. You quit hanging on. You need to lay in his arms. You need to trust him today. Trust him today. Trust him today. Preacher, you have never been in my situation before. I'm fine with you saying that. That's okay. I don't bother me. I'll tell you that I don't know everything, but I do know somebody that does. I do know somebody that does. I do know somebody that does. Whatever you need today, God can help you today. I've tried God before. A lot of folks try God. It's like trying a cereal or something. Oh, there's a new cereal. I think I'll try it. Pour it in bowls. It's okay. Or there's a new hamburger joint down the road. Let's go out and try them out. Well, they're all right, but I got tired of it after a while. God don't want you just to try him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to throw away all your other meal tickets. All your other mannerisms, all the other ways, all the other things that you fall back on to give you joy. And he says, I want you to trust me. And Brother Tony, I'm done, but I want you to think about this. God chose a raven and a widow. Nobody would have chose them. And I found out in the ministry that some of the most unlikely people end up being the greatest blessing. Hey, your preacher ain't nobody. I know that. But I remember when I was too shy to even stand in front of somebody. My mom would take me shopping at JCPenney's. No, she'd take me to Belk's Bargain Basement because of what we could afford, Monroe. Take me down there and find a pair of jeans. Buy me a pair of jeans. You know how moms do pull on you, thing like that, embarrass you so bad you can't stand it. Pull on you. I'm like, oh, don't do that. Oh. And the salesman come up. Can I help you? Yeah, we're trying to. And he'd say, how those wear? Who'd have thought I'd ever be a pastor? Some old backward raven. Who'd have thought I'd ever get up and speak? The time you'll dismiss us.